And we are live. Well, not live. We got a podcast, the Live and Breathe Horse Racing Facebook podcast. And this is, I think, number 10, maybe, possibly. I'm not positive, but we've come a long way, and I'm happy you guys are listening. Now, we are on almost every single platform, so if you're on Apple, rate, subscribe, review, please, so we can get more people to listen to it and blow this thing up. And today we're going to talk about a few things. The first thing we are going to talk about, and I think it's something that we need to talk about, and that was the Derby implications that occurred over the weekend. That weekend was the Arkansas Derby and the Lexington Stakes, and the Lexington Stakes appears to only have maybe one horse that got in, maybe one on the also eligible list, but at the time being, it looks and appears that that race wasn't very productive when it came to what might happen on the first Saturday in May. And the Arkansas Derby actually saw five horses actually get in to the May 3rd race, or May 4th race, the first Saturday in May. With that said, let's talk about the Arkansas Derby, and let's talk about Omaha Beach and his stellar performance. Everybody's going to look at it, and they're going to think that it would happen to do with the mud, and they're going to give all the excuses to improbable, and they're going to find ways to try to make it more sugar-coated for improbable. Here's the deal, guys. Omaha Beach is a monster, and he's finally running to his pedigree, which is incredible. And you have to understand something. Warfront, up until about a couple of years ago, was considered a turf horse, a turf sire. He wasn't considered a dirt sire. And now you have Omaha Beach, who has just come out of, just gotten better and better and better. And I can guarantee you that Richard Mandela is going to be listening to him between now and right about post time when it comes to this horse. And I honestly think Roadster and Improbable will probably end up becoming one or two favorites, because everybody's going to look at the Omaha Beach race and say, well, Improbable had this, Improbable had that. At any point in time, if Improbable was good enough, Improbable could have gone by Omaha Beach, and it never happened. In fact, he flattened out. Now, with that said, Long Range Toddy, I've always thought that he kind of overachieved a little bit, and I never thought that he was going to be the best. I never thought that he might win the Derby, but I think he would be good as far as exotics are concerned. And it was guaranteed to happen. He threw in a clunker, and he was already in regardless. So Court just wrapped up on him and let him run around. But I think he'll be better suited. I think he's better suited for a mile and a 16th. If he gets the mile and a quarter, it's because horses are tiring and he's sitting just off of the pace, which is the best part for him. But in all seriousness, I think it's one of those things to where he's going to need the perfect pace and the perfect setup to get the best spot. And with that said, I think right now, if you look at the Arkansas Derby, it may come to play in very strongly as far as that is concerned when it comes to racing on the first Saturday in May. Now, everybody's talking about another Twist of Fate who was running in the Lexington. You know, the track at Lexington was playing to the outside. He got to the outside and he flattened out. I mean, y'all can say that horse is going to be the horse, but he flat out flattened out, and he basically couldn't come to head to the winner and finished well. But I don't know whether or not he wants to go that far either. And the rider change was big. I hope JJ Hernandez gets a chance again. But, you know, that's part of horse racing. You try things and you see where that sticks. And as far as sticking is concerned, Sueño had a rough trip, had a bad trip. And I know their connections are going to probably think about going to the Preakness. You know, it's a Feld family find, and you know, it's possible that this horse is legit. I just want to see if he can actually put everything together. So we'll look at it that way. When we come back, we are going to take a look at the opening tracks that are coming up this week as far as opening up the race meets. So we'll talk a little bit about Lone Star Park. We'll talk a little bit about Indiana Grand, Emerald Downs, and Woodbine when we return. This is a Live and Breathe Facebook radio podcast. Welcome back to the Live and Breathe Horse Racing podcast for Monday, April 15th, tax day. Hopefully you gamblers were able to save a little bit of money and not have to worry about a lot, but as far as taxes are concerned. But we're going to get into the opening race meets that are starting this week, and it's going to begin tomorrow, April 16th, over in Shelbyville, Indiana, for the Indiana Grand Opener. The track is a mile long, is a mile in circumference. They have a 7.5 furlong turf course. They have good, solid racing, full fields. Rarely do you see 6-7 horse fields. You usually see about an average of 8 horses per race. So that's always great to know. And we're going to talk a little bit about what to look for as far as this track is concerned, because there are certain things that a new person goes in and looking at, they're not going to be able to understand why it is that certain things happen there early on the card. So right off the bat, the first couple races, you have to throw out the front runners. And when I say that, I mean the horses that are speedballs that want the lead. And before you say, well, what if he's 3-5 or 4-5? That's why we want to throw him out, because what happens at Indiana Grand, regardless of what type of class the horse has or anything like that, you are going to find 9 out of 10 times that the horses that are on the front end will tire when they get to the turn and heading for home, because the horses that are stalking and right behind them are going to end up catching the break as far as the wind is concerned, because the winds, by the time post time comes around to about the third race, is a very strong they're running into a very strong headwind. So they're going to tire by the time they get to the top of the stretch. The other thing you're looking at is the fact that they're going uphill at the top of the stretch. So that is one thing to look at as far as races are concerned when it's spring. As the card goes on, if it's a mile races and you have a speed horse or a lone speed or 2 lone speed, you can pretty much guarantee that they're going to hold form and they're going to run 1-2 if they're going a route of ground, because that's just the way the track plays. It does have a tendency sometimes to play to a merry-go-round effect, which kind of is frustrating. But if you can find a horse with a price, and that's one thing you have to look at Indiana Grand, you have to look for price and be willing to not play every single race. The other thing you're going to find is that the Indiana breds do marginally well at Kentucky and in Ohio. But when they go to Oaklawn or when they go to Louisiana or when they go to Texas, they have a tendency not to fire. So you might want to look at those Indiana breds that are coming out of open company when that is concerned. On the turf, speed kills on turf. You got to be within the first 4 or 5 lengths at the top when you get into the turn, and you have to make your move at the top of the lane. Rarely do you see a horse blast from the past about 6 or 7 lengths off with about a mile, with about half a furlong or a 1/16 of a mile or an eighth or 3/16 of a mile out. They're usually pretty much right in that form. So, and that goes with sprints and routes when it comes to turf. So that's very important to look at when it comes to Indiana Grand. And now we're going to go over to Lone Star Park. And Lone Star Park, their meet is pretty sharp and feisty. Steve Asmussen, always a man to beat there. Brett Calhoun, another guy. Carl Broberg. Those guys are the ones that you're going to want to beat there at that track. What you will find is Asmussen will debut a lot of his older three-year-olds and at a place like Lone Star, so that's something you may want to look at. Another thing you may want to look at is the fact that that track plays pretty fair. Horses do come from behind, horses do come from the front. Stockers do a very good job there, and there's really no question that that's the best place. That's a very, very good track to hone your skills as far as handicapping is concerned. As always, Texas breds are a little bit below Louisiana breds and Kentucky breds. So if they're coming out of an open company at Oaklawn or Oklahoma or Louisiana or Ohio or Indiana, always look at those horses regardless if they're running it, running in main specials and they're dropping down to main claiming or a main claim or moving up to main specials. And of course, they do have a turf course there, and that turf course plays pretty traditionally to what most turf courses in America play, and that is horses that are pretty much making a move from the 3/8 pole home and a sustained run. So that is something you want to take a look at. As far as that track is concerned, I would recommend maybe looking at the races on Friday and Saturday and gauge your bias as far as the racetrack is concerned with that. And we're going to go over to, we got three tracks opening on April 20th. Emerald Downs is not one that I play and follow much. They're pretty much what's considered a C track, track that doesn't, that gets a lot of Washington breds there. They get lower level maidens for $4,000, but the racing is good. They have good fields. It's a dirt track, and it's only a dirt track. I don't believe they have turf racing there. So you will have to watch how that form plays. I do know that horses that ship up from Golden Gate Fields or from the fair circuits do have a tendency to hold a little bit better form and have a little more class than the Emerald Down horses that have waited. And I do know that if you're looking at horses to play, anything coming out of Pegasus Training Center in Washington is a good strong angle to use there, because they do have a training track there and they do get their horses ready because Mike Pewich is the trainer there. As far as Woodbine is concerned, Woodbine is a different animal altogether. They have really strange races there. You have to read the conditions, and then you have to do your homework. By that, I mean they have a lot of optional claiming 40,000s that are written in a way that they're either Ontario, you could be an Ontario bred, which is Toronto, which is their province bred horses, and you can go and see them, you know, run for optional level 40K, and they have maybe one win, but it's also considered a non-2L. So people are going to look at that race and say, oh, it's an optional 40 claimer. This is really tough. Then you look at the condition and see, oh, it's an N2L. Then you go and look at the races they run, and they might have run seven straight OC 40K races, which are optional claimers, and what you're going to find out is that it's the identical race. The only difference is that they just ride it that way. What you want to do there, as far as that's concerned, is look at the grass. They have two grass courses now, so you're going to have to figure out which horse ran at which track. First year it's happening, so I'm on the same boat as you, and I will be making some notes and passing them along. But in all seriousness, it's going to take a couple weeks to figure out which turf course is good for which horses. Obviously, they have the synthetic there. The riders you want to look at is Eurico da Silva, Rafael Hernandez, Luis Contreras, if Kaz Kimura come back. Those are the four top riders. Obviously, Chantel Sutherland sometimes is there. So is So is Emma Jane Wilson. So take a good look. Take a gander. One thing you will know is that speed does do a good job there, unless it gets later in the day than in the evening, and then speed has a tendency to kind of fall apart. So with that said, hopefully that's your primer for the four tracks that open up. Hopefully you like the Derby prep information you got. And next week, we'll come around to figure out what we're going to discuss, but it's probably going to be another handicapping lesson. But hopefully you enjoyed it. Like I said, rate, subscribe, click, do all that fun stuff. And I will be back next week with another fun edition of the Live and Breathe Horse Racing Podcast.